Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm Joe Rexrode, Paul Kuharsky in this week for Robbie Stanley, who's at Disney World. Nick Keyser here. Rainy, slick out there. Be careful. PK, dared death, stared it in the face to get here on time.
Stared it in the face. Strong back stretch. Pleased to be here. Thank you for having me. Good morning, Nashville.
I was actually pretty late, too. So, here you go. See this?
Yeah.
This is product placement. Pepto Chewables.
Yeah.
I made a beef chili yesterday, okay? Now, I get white chicken, turkey more often, made it nice beef chili. And I thought it was really good. I didn't go crazy with the cayenne, you know? I mean, I've had two Pepsis. And those are pretty good. Like, those are usually pretty good. And I'm on the way here, I'm like, I'm dying. So now I'm chewing Pepto.
I can't find fast relief from heartburn stuff, which I've been having a lot lately, which started with Simon and I were out to dinner not too long ago at your place, Amico's.
Uh-huh.
And we were having a good time talking, and I just kept eating pizza, and I ate half a pizza, which was probably two slices too much.
That's a lot.
And I really had some difficulties. There. My wife and I share a bottle of like Alka-Seltzer chews that are on her desk.
Are those good?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a shame that we're eating them at the rate we're eating them.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going through a healthy stretch, it's funny how I never need this stuff.
Yeah, right.
And then, then you're not going through a healthy stretch. And then you go, to me, tomato-based, anything acidic, pork, stuff like bacon, sausage.
I made just like simple sliders, like ground beef, onion, and barbecue sauce sliders that you bake. And I made a lot of them because, as I said, I was expecting my boy to be around for the Super Bowl and we were going to pig out. And then he disappeared. And so there's a lot.
So you had to compensate.
So I had them 2 days in a row and not issues to your extreme, but same thing where I'm eating the Alka-Seltzer last night. Eating the Alka-Seltzer. And we're due for a new bottle.
Okay.
Do some shopping.
All right.
We could compare further notes off air about what's most effective and fastest.
No, I'm gonna look into those Alka-Seltzer. I mean, because Pepcid, which is more of a pill.
Yeah,
and it takes a
little
time.
I don't find those to be helpful.
And then you got the. I mean, we could spend an hour here.
What a show! Everyone call in with your favorite antacid.
Yeah, exactly. Your favorite. What's the one that's Prilosec? That's the one where you're supposed to like
take it regularly, no?
But I think you're supposed to then be done. You're supposed to like take it for 2 weeks, and it's supposed to
cure you.
I guess, but I don't think that. I mean, maybe for some people, it works like that. So yeah, let us know on the game text and phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com 615-737-1025. Your favorite antacid. We are sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. And we are talking antacids here in the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And my board here does not work. Like, the light does not light up, Nick. This is really bothering me. My red light is not going on, so I don't know if my mic's on.
All sorts of off-the-air truths coming today.
Yeah.
About time you said some things.
This is a new one right here. But we're gonna obviously talk a lot of Titans today and still some Super Bowl stuff. But I thought,
Get it clear.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do it on the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I thought that today would be a good day. It's like the.
Here he goes. Here he goes.
Here we go. Here we go. This must be the Pepto kicking in. A good day to, like the way too early. And obviously in the NFL, the issue is, there's a lot of roster change to come. But you know, the best teams, first of all, I mean, you know, they're going to be lower in the draft, and they're going to and they may add, they may lose. But, you know, you have an idea. The best teams obviously want to stay more like themselves than the bad teams like the Titans. So I thought we'd get into way too early. You know, it's just like in college football, the way too early top 25, which, again, same thing there. Now it's like you can do all that stuff, but there's a lot of transfer portal movement to happen still. But your top three, I just wanted your top three on each side, AFC, NFC, right now, what you believe.
I spent a lot of time thinking about this, okay, and I'm outside the box here because I'm expecting, you know, rising and falling. It's very easy to pick, you know, the two teams that were in the championship game and one that just missed. So I looked at who teams are playing next year. I looked at free agency, who they stand to lose. I looked at needs in free agency in the draft, and I gave some gut feeling consideration to who may fade and who may come on. So, you know, it's one man's opinion, but I suspect I'll be controversial.
Okay, good. I'm here for it.
So AFC number one, I'm Baltimore. I think give him an edge rusher. You know, Ronnie Stanley and their fullback, is it Richard? Are there two big free agents? I think sustainable there. They need edge help, the biggest edge help, maybe defensive tackle, guard, wide receiver. But we know the core of that team is very good. They were close. They're always going to be in it if they're healthy, particularly right now at with the running back quarterback combination. And you know, I think with them and Buffalo and Kansas City, there's kind of potential to churn. I don't want to say they've been unlucky, but I think, you know, they're a any given Sunday kind of team. And I think it's got to be wearing on Lamar that he hasn't broken through big time in the playoffs, and they feel on the verge to me. I don't love them personally, but my second team is a breakthrough team. I am going to go with the idea that Kansas City is running out of steam.
Okay.
In that,
I don't think you're going to be alone. Okay. In a lot of people, that's an interesting. That's one of the big questions.
They're running out of steam. Not just I'm not just giving like, oh, one team finally got them and they're down. I mean, you've played three consecutive seasons more of these of the long seasons. Right. That starts to wear on you. You're playing more games than everybody else every year. Showed some signs of age in this Super Bowl. Gonna inevitably at some point you start to lose some close games. Kelsey's slowing down. Maybe you miss on a draft pick or two that you haven't missed on. All of these things, there's some gravitational pull to regression to the mean. And I'm really into Harbaugh. And the Chargers pull me. Talk about gravitational pull. I mean, I've been burned more times on the Chargers than anybody. They play the AFC South, where you think three games are pretty easy, and Houston beat them in the playoffs. They're going to have revenge on their mind there. And the NFC East, which is, you know, Washington and Philadelphia are difficult. Dallas and the Giants are not. They've got some free agents of concern, Puna Ford, Denzel Perryman. But there's talk of them being shoppers for people like Trey Smith or T. Higgins. And, you know, they need wide receiver, tight end, edge. A lot of these teams needs edge. Everybody's list is edge.
Yeah. Well, especially, and then everybody watches what Philly did, and it's like, how close are we to that?
But here's the other thing. They lost to Kansas City twice, by 7 and by 2.
Like, I mean, everybody who lost to Kansas City lost by that much. But, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Division rival that made the playoffs. I could see them winning the West. Third team, Buffalo. They were plus 157 in point differential. They play the NFC South, which is a bad division. They play the AFC North, which is a good division. Don't have much in the way of free agents. Mac Hollins, Rasul Douglas. edge, safety guard, wide receiver. They need safety help, I think, for sure. But it's hard for me to get rid of them when you're looking at, you know, you're looking at division champs here. I think Houston's going to bounce back and be good. And they were 5-1 in the division. But those are my three: Baltimore, Chargers, Buffalo. I was tempted with Cincinnati, but you can't go a second team in a division. You got to go three division winners here.
Okay. Well, I mean, I didn't make that rule, but I mean,
but it's,
yeah,
I'm saying it's hard to pick a wild card to be one of the three best teams in the league based on the fact it's got a tougher path.
Yeah, I think the Bengals are definitely one of those teams that people will look at, but there's just so much to do on the defensive side of the ball. And again, right now there's a lot of uncertainty on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and you don't even know, like, are they going to be the cheap Bengals? Hendrickson, you know, Burrow's campaigning every time he opens his mouth
right.
for them to keep Hendrickson and Higgins.
And that's clearly, I mean, that's what they are. That's what they've been. So that's a real thing. You know, I'm very boring because I don't have – I mean, I think the Texans are a candidate. I agree that the Chargers are a candidate. Like Pittsburgh, do they get a quarterback? I mean, the Stafford to Pittsburgh thing intrigues me, and I think, you know, that could change things. But also I think that the defensive side of the ball for them is eroding a little bit. I mean, I'm boring. I'm Ravens, Bills, Chiefs. But the Bills, to me, you know, they have serious work to do. First of all, the Keon Coleman thing didn't really work. I mean, he may end up being, you know, fine. But when it comes down to it, then Amari Cooper fades. I mean, you know, it's really incredible what Josh Allen did when you consider that. You got to fix that. You have to give him a difference maker. And how good are they on defense? You know, I mean, they're aging. Obviously, like whenever Milano plays, he's a really good player. But how often is that anymore? You know, Von Miller. They got a lot of older. Yeah, you know, they got some good guys. They got Oliver up front. Sub. Yeah. So, you know, and you know, I mean, I think McDermott. I think that the OC was a big hire for them, and I think he's probably going to be a head coach at some point. And his name's eluding me.
Brady.
Thank you, Joe Brady. Of Joe Burrow LSU fame, so they, you know, they're there, but they to me have they've got a huge offseason ahead.
See, I think they did really well. I think the Buffalo did surprisingly well in what I thought was the down season.
Yeah.
I think they'll replenish now and be more talented.
That makes sense. Yeah, if they do it well, I agree. I mean, I think they exceeded it. Then again, I think that's why, you know. So I'm not mad about Josh Allen winning MVP.
And division's still weak. You know, Vrabel will bring a little juice, but not a lot of talent.
I mean, the Jets and Dolphins, I don't much there. The Patriots will be an interesting team for sure, a team to watch. And I look around. I mean, we haven't mentioned the Broncos. Maybe that's
a
little disrespectful. Not a Broncos guy?
I'm not a believer in Knicks. And I think Sean Payton is a little bit overrated as a offensive mastermind.
They were way better than I thought, Bo Nix included, this year. So maybe the ceiling isn't as high as some Broncos fans hope. Okay. All right, we come back. We'll get into the NFC. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, and fitting tune here from Nick Kayser. Make sure you're being
not predictable at all.
Well, that's a nice. Well, do you need more of a deep cut? You need more of a Rain deep cut,
yeah,
to satisfy you. Okay, yeah. A lot of songs.
I'm only happy related. When it rains.
There you go, garbage. Yes, nice garbage impersonation. There.
What's become of her?
I don't know.
Is she living or dead?
I don't know. I hate when I mess that up either way.
Shirley Manson.
Either think someone is dead and they're not, or alive and they're not. I mean, I think she's alive.
You never know with rock and rollers.
Yeah, that's true, you know. Yeah, Shirley Manson. Yeah, okay. 58 years
Nationality?
Old.
Nationality?
She's Scottish? Yeah.
Bingo. Look at you. You're on fire this morning despite your stomach problems.
Yeah. Well, and kind of on fire.
Now, is literally, somebody like Shirley
actually,
Manson?
Not literally, though.
Is somebody like Shirley Manson rich? Like, is she sustained by garbage's success?
Oh,
I'm always fascinated by this question.
Well, I...
Like, because they were, I don't know about one hit wonder, but like two albums. Two albums. The one with I'm Only Happy When It Rains, huge. But is that enough to live off?
I would say yes, as long as you tour. I mean, that's what it is. Right? Yeah. That's how you make your money, right? I mean, so and I think that
they're not touring now, are they?
I think they've been around and out. I mean, I've never seen them live. I would. I'd see them. But that's how you do it.
Anybody wants to do that work for us, look up like Shirley Ann Manson's wealth.
Yeah, there you go. Net wealth of Shirley Manson. That'd be great to know.
I'm always fascinated by this. What it takes to make it for life.
Well, some people, you know, it's like you hear, yeah, we're still getting royalties off our one hit in 1974. I'm like, man, that must be amazing, right? But I think
sometimes those royalties, you know, people talk about getting royalties that are like a pretty tiny
$8 check. Yeah. But I feel like it's all about tour. That's why these reunion tours have. It's like, hey, man, I gotta get some cash, you know. So I feel like Garbage has been out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, how many of us are suckers enough to go see Garbage? Like, I'd like to see that song, but am I gonna pay what $40, $45 to see a band that hasn't put out anything that I know since then?
I mean, we're probably gonna go see Psychedelic Furs at Brooklyn Bowl in a couple months.
I would like to see Psychedelic Furs. They got a much deeper catalog, though.
Do they? I mean, they've got like 3-4 songs that I really like.
Love My Way.
You know? Yeah. The Ghost in You, et cetera. Pretty in Pink. I mean, I don't know. I feel like those bands, they also, when they get together on a little tour.
Yeah, if you have three of them.
Yeah, then you've got
But then you cut the money three ways, and then how lucrative is it?
Well, there's that,
too. If you're playing Brooklyn Bowl, or if you're playing,
right? Are you playing Ascend? Are you playing right? I mean, these are all very good questions. Vincent and Dixon says, "No rain, purple rain, November rain." Yes, these are all good rain songs too. All right, let's get into the NFC. So,
you go first.
No, actually, I like you going first. Your level of research is blowing me away. So go for it.
Philadelphia. I mean, you can't deny point differential 160 this year. They play the NFC North, which is difficult, though I think there's going to be some regression there. They play the AFC West, which is very difficult. They've got some tough free agents. Bond, who we were raving about yesterday. Sweat, who's coming off a tremendous Super Bowl. Milton Williams coming off a tremendous Super Bowl. They don't have a lot of needs. They're a young team with a pretty solid roster. So they could use reinforcements, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line. I mean, what a luxury with the offensive line and defensive line that they have, that you look at stories about their draft needs, and those are mentioned. I mean, that's a place to be, where you're that team and you can go draft offensive line and defensive line. But, I mean, the Eagles are the team to beat, obviously, right now. I'm really going out on a limb with my second team here.
Okay.
All right. Because I think Detroit, I love Detroit, and I love Detroit's personnel, and I hope Detroit's healthy. But you lose both coordinators, man, on a team that was that cohesive, and I think there's going to be some issues there.
Yeah, you lose both coordinators, you hope you at least got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
And they're in the NFC North. They're playing the AFC East, and the I'm not sure about who they're playing. Forgive me there. Or no, they're playing the NFC East. That's not bad. AFC North, tough. Right?
Yeah, the Lions schedule, which obviously the first place schedule, is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for drop-off there. I'm going crazily with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
They had a 117-point differential. They're playing the NFC West, which is completely unimpressive to me. Even if the Rams are good, they kind of just slide by. They're playing the AFC East, which is a one-team division to me. Their free agents are easily re-signable guys. They're getting old is my one concern. They've hired Josh Grizzard, who's a young coordinator, but he was chief lieutenant for Liam Cohn. So they're maintaining continuity. It's harder and harder not to fall in love with what Baker Mayfield's doing there and to give it credit. And they're in a crappy division. I mean, Carolina's not going to do anything. New Orleans isn't going to do anything. Atlanta might be turning a corner, but they're a 500-ish team. I think the Bucks have a pathway, conceivably. And I'm going to your division. I think Detroit's going to sink. I don't know what Minnesota's doing at quarterback, but I find it hard to believe they're going to be as good, though they're tempting. Packers, one of the youngest teams in the league. Like, everybody's under 25. They don't have any free agents because all their guys are young. They need a center. They need an edge rusher. I take the Packers third, so I'm going Philly, Tampa, Green Bay.
So here's where I'm...
And I know that's a wacky threesome, but I'm trying to crystal ball it.
Well, but the NFC is, I mean, to me, it's a lot. It's just more wide open, right? Just because it, other than Philly, because you don't have, I mean, Philly is obviously, they're the champion. They look like a super team. I didn't necessarily think that of them all year.
Here's the one team everybody's going to slot is Washington. Washington beat four teams that were decent this year, and their schedule flips to like from easiest in the league to toughest in the league. And that second year thing for a quarterback and a franchise, they're going to be big spenders in free agency, but things get a whole huge degree more difficult.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Washington, this is the start of something. I think Jaden Daniels is going to, like, they're going to be a knocking on the door for a long time. But it's almost guaranteed they're going to have some step back from last year. They're not sneaking up on anybody. The QB, you know, again, look at Stroud and the Texans this year. It's not all on him or whatever, but what, the OC gets fired, which is bizarre. A guy who a year ago, everybody, you know, was talking about him being a head coach.
Eagles are in front of Washington, so it's a harder track.
Yeah. Yeah, so the team that, and I'm with you on Detroit. I think, you know, they get their edge back. The roster still looks really good. Is this going to be the start for Goff of like the Tannehill situation here, where you have that terrible playoff game and it's kind of a little bit like, okay, you know, you had your little window, but. Because then, you know.
Scarring loss. And is that a scarring loss?
Yeah. And then just, again, like, how good is Ben Johnson? I think he was a great OC. And we'll see about him as a head coach of the Bears. But that's just asking a lot to replace that. But my team that I'm going to put in there, and I think a lot of people wouldn't, because I'm with you on the Eagles. I'm with you on the Packers, too. I mean, I think that's the team that's set to rise in that division. But the team that I'm going to put in there, and I know a lot of people are going to start writing them up, but it's the San Francisco 49ers. And it's about, you know, it's about getting people back healthy. You know, they're older. They got some, like, Greenlaw is a free agent here. I mean, they got some of these guys that, you know, but most of their key guys they have back. There are questions about the quarterback. And I get it, and I don't think he's ever going to be a great quarterback. He's a great story. But I also think he's good, you know. And, I mean, we've seen them. I mean, obviously, they got to the Super Bowl last year with him. And I think that they are – I don't think they're done. And I think some people do, and maybe you do.
I tend to think they're headed toward their end. Can they win consistently without McCaffrey? Because McCaffrey's never going to be whole again, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean that's a good question, and I don't know, but I don't know for sure that that's true, right? I mean, if you're right, then yeah, that's a challenge.
I find it hard to think of them getting 17 games out of them. So you know, you hope for 13, and 10 of them with him like fully himself, and then which 10, and then you're like schedule monitoring.
But don't forget too, the injuries at receiver this year. You know, I mean, are they healthy and whole there?
Well, they're looking to trade Debo too, and then what's your talent level if you trade him? They do have a lot of picks. They've got 7 picks in the first 4 rounds. I think I heard on the show preceding us coming in, and you know they tend to do well with that, which is going to take them from, you know, help make them younger.
Yeah, they need that, and you know their defense too. When their defense is whole and on the field, it's one of the best defenses in the league. They've got Saleh back as D coordinator. You know, say what you will about him as head coach of the Jets, but he's a pretty good defense coordinator. We'll keep going with this, and we're going to get into the Titans sort of outlook here with obviously a lot of questions there. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show. It's sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Talking NFL 2025. And a little bit of Beatles there. Why don't you play that when Robbie's here so he understands that the Beatles also created heavy metal. So we're talking the NFC, PK, the Niners. I'm buying on them, and I think a lot of people are giving up on them. But you bring up fair concerns, and again, as pointing out,
they were 6-11. I think people don't realize necessarily how bad they were, and that's at the bottom of a weak division. I mean, the Rams and Seahawks at 10-7, weak 10-7s to me. Cardinals 8-9, 49ers 6-11.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Rams and Seahawks? I'm not excited about either of those teams.
No, I mean, not.
The Rams are moving on from Cooper Kupp, who's, you know, a critical factor for them.
Was.
For sure. But, you know, talk of even considering moving on from Stafford.
Well, you got Stafford's wife, you know, taking him to task on the podcast, which is probably, it probably ends up with him getting paid more. I don't know what the plan would be if Sean McVay really wants to move on from him. What is unless they absolutely love one of these guys here in the draft? Are they one of the teams that I doubt? And we're going to get into your teams that are quarterback needy slash potentially dumb. I doubt the Rams.
No, the Rams are certainly not
mind,
on that list.
Right?
Here's an interesting development on that Stafford front that I sent you yesterday. The Giants hired Chad Hall as assistant quarterbacks coach. He's Matthew Stafford's brother-in-law. So this wife, who's noisy, and more power to her, I love, you know, when you get the family information. It's another piece of the reporting puzzle. But her brother now works for the Giants. Giants.
That's
certainly
interesting.
In the quarterback mix.
Yeah. Does Stafford want to go L.A. to New York? Boy, that's now that would be interesting. Look, I still think highly of Stafford as a quarterback. I think, you know, he goes any place and immediately makes them legitimate.
Absolutely elevates.
But yeah, it's hard for me to buy the Rams moving on. But I'm with you. I mean, look, Puka Nacua is a terrific player. They did a fantastic job in the draft on the defensive side of the ball last year, and that's why they exceeded expectations. So they're a good example of a team that, you know, you get in the last couple drafts, really, you know, up front defensively to collectively replace Aaron Donald. You know, if you have that kind
they really
of
did.
What's that?
They really did.
Yeah, I mean, Fisk
they
and Burse and the year before the kid from Tennessee. I mean, yeah, you draft like that up front, and you change your trajectory as a team. And look, think about their game against the Eagles in the playoffs. They gave the Eagles they gave them problems, and you know, and a lot of it was that defensive front. So,
but if they're moving on from Stafford, either they love Stetson Bennett, who's the only quarterback they have under contract otherwise, or they're seeing something in this draft where they're
right
loving somebody, and it's not Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders.
What if it is?
Dart or Milroe or McCord or somebody like that, I think.
What would it take for the Titans to deal one to the Rams as they did 9 years ago? I don't even know. Where are the Rams picking? 20?
I mean, they're in the 20s.
I mean, you're talking about to move down there. What would you take? It would take,
well,
it would be a
move down and move back up potentially.
Maybe.
The Rams are 26th.
Oh, wow.
I mean, getting a bleep ton.
Right. I mean,
go to 26.
I mean, it would be shocking to me, if that's what the Rams were planning to do, right? Be shocking. But now look, I am not going to be surprised at all if and when someone is in love with one or both of these quarterbacks at the top of the draft. And you know, that's what we're going to get into that in the 7 o'clock hour. But that's what the Titans have to hope, is that happens. But So I think, yeah, obviously, look, there's a lot of things that are going to happen with these teams. I mean, I could make a case for the Vikings to be a good team. You know, tell me if Darnold. I mean, I just can't buy that if they're going to the basically the rookie coming off an ACL. But they won 14 games with Darnold. That happened this year,
and it was their plan.
Right, and the Falcons. You know, I'm intrigued by the Falcons. I hear you on the Bucs. I think they're certainly the favorite in that division. And so you win a division, you get a home playoff game. I think they're going to be good. And the Falcons intrigue me. You know, I think the Falcons have done some things with their roster.
Yeah, it's all about Penix, really.
And, yeah, it is.
And I mean, you got a good start. I mean, Bijan Robinson is big starts. I don't, you know, you can't put too much weight into it. You need to see more body of work. I wasn't a big believer in him coming out, so I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon, just like I'm not all the way on Knicks. I think Knicks gets figured out to some degree, but it's obviously a good marriage with him and Peyton.
Yeah, it's way better than I laughed that whole thing off, and I was dead wrong. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. So the Tennessee Titans, PK. Here's the question that I have. Again, not knowing what they're doing at quarterback, there's a ton to change about this team. So you have to. There's a limitation in this conversation, but imagine, you know, a great offseason. Again, you go back 9 years when you traded that number one pick, and you improved your win total by six, and it could have been more, and you could have won your division in that 2016 season off one. Well, yeah, right. One great offseason and building on, you had some pieces in place, including at the time a young quarterback that we all thought might, you know, figure it out, might actually be the guy. But how many more wins is realistic for the Titans? From three to what?
I mean, I think you want seven minimally. I don't know the path to it. You know, we've got the biggest single question an NFL market can have with who's the quarterback. You don't know who the quarterback is. It's awfully hard to know your route to gaining four or five wins. But I think the expectations got to be you get to seven or eight wins. It's still under five. There's no more 500, but still not a winning record. But a significant gain to get to seven or eight, show you're on course, your stuff works, could be enough for Brian Callahan. I think would be enough if they win eight games. I think, you know, Brian Callahan would be judged to be on course.
Depending on, you know how it is. It's like, show me how it goes. Yeah. Exactly. Like,
and how
do
those,
you come about that?
What's the progress? Yeah. You know, this team was not any better at the end of the season than it was at the beginning of the season, really.
Okay, we need to take a quick break for Ed and Jersey to yell at you. Ed and Jersey.
Edward.
Go for it.
Good morning. Good morning. Just your fraudulent Titan fan here for 50 years. So, PK, come on. Why don't you let me have the floor just a little bit while you look up peptides or whatever you need to. But so in 1978, Earl Campbell came on as a rookie. Yes, did I only see highlights? But he was a galvanizing sports figure, okay? So as a nine-year-old in 1978, I gravitated toward him. My family was a Steeler fan family. My brother, 4 years older, I was very competitive with him, and I wanted to root for someone different, some team different, and they were rivals. So I picked the Oilers. I fell in love on Monday night watching him against Miami rush for 199 yards. And I'm telling you, I stuck with him. I stuck through this team following him from a sports ticker in the early 80s, because I could not see them, and watching Brian Gumbel give me highlights at halftime. So how dare you question that I am not a fan? When he was traded in 1984, I stuck with him. Bought a satellite dish so I could watch him for years. I'm telling you, it does not matter how you become a fan. You're trying to apply logic to fanaticism. How do you do that? Did you take a class at Columbia that taught you how to do that? I mean, how can you rationalize how anyone has love for their sports team and how they became that way?
I never
I just
said
don't get it.
Ed, thank you. That is a terrific, one of the best calls I've ever had. You are absolutely dead on accurate. PK can stew in that, and we'll get back and get his response. Robbie and Rexard, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexard. All right, PK, your response.
Yeah, like many people, Ed, who I love, is getting emotional about my fan rooting guidelines and putting words into my mouth. I never said that Ed's not a true fan of the Oilers. Ed adopted the Oilers and then the Titans. Okay. And Ed is maybe one of the biggest Titans fans I know. Ed is all over the Titans. Mm-hmm. Ed loves the Titans.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that when Ed chose the Titans, it was weird. Okay, and now and I allow for some of this, a rebellious fan choice, right? There are some young people who see what mom and dad are rooting for, or that mom and dad went to Ohio State and intentionally in rebellious form root for Michigan. Or they see that they are Indians fan and they intentionally root for the Tigers or somebody that the Indians hate. There's a degree of that. I hate that for the parents and for the family dynamic, but I agree that happened. Also, there's so many people out there taking this so seriously. These are my rules and how I'd like to see things happen. You're perfectly entitled to say blow off.
No, good.
A lot of people, though,
I'd like to say that right now.
On Twitter are acting like they're really frustrated because their fandom doesn't fit my rules, and they're really struggling with this. I like that
like
you're
you
giving
have
me
some, like you have some kind of
power.
Yeah,
I like that you're giving me this much power. All I'm saying is, I think it's the healthiest, best way to grow up rooting for teams in your town. Here's a number one reason: they're your hometown teams, mm-hmm. and I think going to the ball game and stepping into the stadium for the first time, you probably have the same memories I do, where you see the grass through that tunnel yep. is a big deal. And if you choose to be a fan of the Seattle Mariners, unless you're rich, you're getting to do that very little. And if you do it for the Nashville Predators to see the ice and the Tennessee Titans, you get to do it once in a while. With your parents or whoever. It's an experience. It's a city thing. And then when your team gets good, you get to root with the whole city. It's a communal experience. Instead of having picked a guy who happened to go to your school or went to some random school who you were fascinated with and you adopted his team somewhere in the middle of America randomly.
Again, this coming from the fan of an English soccer
Again, this
club.
Makes no sense. Internationally, you can do what you want. There's nobody
yes.
on your porch.
Now, your rules are very weird. Craig says, I grew up in Nashville, but I'm from a big Catholic family. Is it okay if I root for Notre Dame? Yes. Yes, Craig, you are allowed to root for Notre Dame.
I have a different issue with Notre Dame.
Yeah? What's that?
I just think people think it's like some fantastic, maybe it's gotten better. But I think Catholics in general regard Notre Dame as like a phenomenal school, and I think it's not nearly as good as people cast it to be.
Yeah? Okay. Based on what? I mean,
Based on my personal rankings of schools. Like
Forget the U.S. News and World Report. We got PK's college rankings.
Well, I don't think it even ranks that great in U.S. News and World Report.
Okay. I don't know.
I mean, I've never seen it mentioned with the top, like with Northwestern, with Stanford, with Duke.
Not, I'm interested now. I'll look it up. Meanwhile, since we're also talking about heartburn today, I've got a texter who says, get some Gaviscon liquid for your heartburn. It's a mint. Crushes it within 10 to 20 minutes
also
nearly
ginger.
Every time.
Gaviscon liquid.
Gaviscon liquid. Down. There you go. You got some. You have the ginger chews. I mean, I'm about to chew more Pepto from, again.
You don't look well.
And, from
I
the
mean,
beef
your face
chili.
Generally gives off a I don't feel well look. So when you really don't feel well, it takes it to another level.
This is wild. Kind of ugly, though. Again, I hadn't made, thank you, hadn't made a beef chili in a while. I mean, I put some cayenne in it, but my goodness, this is insane.
Yeah,
all
your
right.
age, you should be backing off spice.
No, I know. I should. But it's like you're trying to make everybody happy because I've got, you know, son wants as much spice as possible. Wife, daughter, not big fans. I'm a big fan, but really need to chill on it. So I tried to toe the line. Can't you sprinkle some spice on at the end? Well, yeah. I mean, he still puts hot sauce when he is a bowl. You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. I think it's probably the tomato-based aspect of it, but it's a real problem. Thank you. All right, so Tennessee Titans. Yeah, so here's the thing. I think, first of all, these 7 wins, I mean, I think that that's it's unrealistic to think that they're going to be a winning team next year. It does happen in this league. It is possible, especially if they were to go the veteran quarterback route, have a great draft, have a great free agency period, which, again, it's very important that they spend and that they get people because they're bad and they have money to spend. But, you know, I'm with you. I think the Callahan aspect of that is really interesting too, right? Like, because he is. He is one of the coaches who are the coaches, primary coaches who are going to be on the hot seat when the 2025 season begins. It did not used to, at least it doesn't seem to me, PK, it didn't used to be too often that you'd have a second-year coach be in that situation, right? I mean, first of all, when you usually get a head coaching job, you take over a bad situation. But, I mean, that's how it is now. There's one-year tenures in this league. There's certainly two-year tenures in this league. And to me, I mean, who else would be
– I think Miami's starting to wear out his welcome.
A little bit.
I think Cincinnati fans are probably getting frustrated that they're not getting the
which
full
is
squeeze
interesting.
Out of that. I think he's good, and I think the Brown family is very – I mean, look at his predecessor and how long Zach Taylor is going to get. Does that correlate to how long Marvin Lewis got, which was forever and ever?
What about Steichen?
Steichen, I mean, that's just a Ursay doesn't want to deal with it, it feels like to me, to say that those two guys are in fine shape.
Obviously, Daboll. I mean,
he's
going to be
Giants are
very much
very
on that.
Thin leashed right now. Saints are just starting.
There's not that much else out there. Not really, you know?
No.
I mean, Daboll.
Cardinals have some time, you would think.
Yeah, and they were. Yeah, we'll see. But
you know, and there's some rumblings in San Francisco, people, about Shanahan, which is crazy to me. He's a guy that probably should, you know, be semi-permanent to work through things, but you never know what happens there. He'd be snatched up.
Yes.
Obviously, that would be a just like we need
new
a change of scenery.
And he needs it and they need it. Exactly. And look, if I'm wrong about them, because I think they're going to bounce back pretty big next year. But if I'm wrong, then yeah, I think it could head that way. But it is more like all right, let's try something new. You try something new. And he would be the most coveted coach out there, I think, without question.
Yeah. And the idea of finding somebody better. I mean, that's a dangerous, dangerous territory.
All right, we come back. PK has been investigating the dumb teams in this league who might be really interested in that number one pick. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.